So as you know now, if you've been paying attention, we are through the summer doing something slightly different to our Acts series. We're considering some of the things that we hold dear and important as Thornbury Baptist Church, some of our, if you like, core values, and just not all of them because the summer's not long enough, but looking at some of them to just keep them fresh in our minds and our hearts as we move forward together as church. And so we're thinking about what it means to be part of this particular church family. And this morning, as you've heard again, thinking about the importance of prayer. I think it's so central to being a Christian that we couldn't not include it in a short series on core values. And the frustration I have is that, you know, we have one shortish talk on one Sunday morning to deal with a subject that could well take us most of the year if we wanted to. So a lot of this is going to be quite fast and quite surface, but the depth is there as well. Anyway, I'll get on with it because I'm taking my own time. Hello, Ken. I thought I heard your voice. I thought that can't be Ken, but it was Ken. Hello, nice to see you. So the first thing I want to say is, and Dave's touched on this already, is the incredible privilege that prayer is. We can sometimes think of it as a hardship or a challenge, but prayer is the most incredible privilege that God invites us to go into the quietness of our own rooms and to address him, our Father who is in heaven, to approach that boundary line between earth and heaven, the physical world and the spiritual world, and to address the King of all worlds directly, personally, face to face. What a privilege. Thank you, Jill Mary. Glad you came. Prayer, one of the things we kind of need to work through a little bit, because prayer is hard, I'll admit that, and prayer is something that we all think is important, but we all struggle to do, I'm guessing, or most of us do. But the thing that needs to energize us is not some sort of hair shirt guilt that I'm not really praying for, but the incredible privilege that prayer actually is. The invitation that God issues to us on a regular basis to come into his presence, the God of everywhere and everything, and have a personal conversation with him. Any other high-ranking official who invited you on a regular basis into his presence to talk to him, assuming you thought they were a good person, of course there are some high-ranking officials around the world at the moment, we may not want a personal invitation to go and talk to, but imagine that there was a good one somewhere. You know, we'd think it was a privilege. I'm allowed to go to talk to her or him. And yet, you know, that's exactly what God says to us. Just come. Come, I want to speak with you. I want you to meet me regularly. And I want you to be persistent. I want you to keep coming and keep on at me. It's interesting. It's shocking almost that God invites us to nag him. There's a verse in the Old Testament that says, give him no rest until. And you know how Jesus said we should always pray and not give up. And he told that story about the widow who fought. She wasn't getting justice and she kept on hammering on the judge's door. And Jesus said, if even an unjust judge eventually will listen to, how much more will your Father in heaven listen if you just keep on? I don't know why. Don't ask me why God doesn't listen the first time and answer the first time. I have some theories, but I haven't got time this morning. That's part of the longer series you're not going to get. But the fact is that God does invite us to keep on. Jesus said, keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, the door will be opened to. Paul said, rejoice always, pray continually. Now, we might wonder what that means, but whatever else it means we keep on doing it. Pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you. God's will is that you should keep being a persistent prayer, responding positively to that invitation to come into the presence of the Holy One and pour out your heart and soul to him. Because there is power in prayer. The power of prayer is that it changes things. This verse from Philippians, don't be anxious about anything. I find that probably the hardest commandment in the whole Bible, personally. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. The assumption is it's going to make a difference to the things that we're anxious about. But notice the second half of the verse. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Can you see what's happening there? There's two things happening. One is you've got a situation that's a problem to you. It's a puzzle to you. It's causing you stress. You bring it to God in the hope that and the belief that God can actually change that. But in bringing it to him, you yourself are transformed. that prayer changes things, but often it starts by changing the one who prays. One of the great benefits of prayer is not just that we're like playing some sort of something which just remotely changes the world out there, but as we pray, as we give ourselves to prayer, as we keep coming into the presence of God in all sorts of rich ways, some of which I'm going to touch on, we ourselves are transformed by the coming. So if we don't pray, both of those things don't happen. Things aren't changed and we're not transformed. We just carry the anxiety and the worry about every situation that's confronting us. So we need, like Jesus, somehow in our lives to make sure that we are making time to pray. Jesus had a prayer habit. I find that in itself deeply challenging. I imagine that if there was any human being who would never have had to pray, it would be the Son of God in human form. And yet, the very person who we might think would not need to pray prayed more than any other human being we know of. We read in Mark chapter 1, very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Obviously, this was a habit because we then read, Simon and his companions went to look for him. How do they know where to look? Because they knew where he always disappeared to early in the morning to pray. He had a prayer habit. This wasn't just a one-off. And they said, everyone's looking for you. He comes back from the place of prayer at the beginning of Mark 1 to confront a whole lot of need. And the disciples assume that he's coming back from the place of prayer to meet that need. But the Bible tells us that he doesn't meet that need. What he does is he heads on to the next village. Because having been in the place of prayer and listened to his heavenly Father, he knew that his day was about not staying put and healing, but moving on towards Jerusalem to be killed for the sins of the world. His life was shaped by the time he spent with his Father. And we read in Luke chapter 5, he was getting more and more popular, more and more widely known, doing more and more stuff. News about him spread all over the place. So crowds of people came to hear him and to be healed of their illnesses. The needs were there. Need upon need upon need was there. But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed. You cannot live a life of just meeting needs unless you're drawing on the resource that actually will meet those needs. You just can't do it in your own strength. We'd love to meet the needs of the world. We'd love to change the world. And yet Jesus himself apparently resisted trying to change the world without constantly drawing on the resources of his Father in heaven so that he could live every day and say, I only do what I see the Father doing and only say what I hear the Father saying, because he'd been attending to his Father in those early hours of the day and he knew what his Father was up to and he knew what his Father was saying. Now, this kind of comes against a current idea that I've heard people say, which is, well, I don't need to have particular times of prayer because I pray all over the place. I'm all over the place, so to speak, with my prayer. And possibly that's true, actually. what Jesus would have grown up with was, of course, his culture, his Jewish culture's patterns and habits of prayer. Jesus prayed in particular times of the day because that's the way they knew where they were in the day. There were three times of prayer in the morning, midday, and evening. And there were others as well. And in between, there were all kinds of prayers for everything that happened. But those were the three lampposts, the three boundary markers of the day. You knew where you were in the day. In fact, it starts with the evening in the Jewish tradition, and then the morning, and then the midday. And you knew where you were in the day. You know where you are on the day, and I know where we are on the day, because it's either before breakfast, or approaching lunch, or nearly tea time, or it's early morning news channel, bargain hunt, and countdown. You know, we use boundary markers for the day. You know, we mark out the day, and we think, oh, it's nearly lunchtime. But Jesus would have grown up in tradition would say it's nearly midday prayer. It's nearly evening prayer. His day was mapped out by where he was in the prayer cycle. And there's a quote from a book by a man called Arthur Paul Boas. He says, the Psalms, the prayer book that Jesus used, we'll come to the Psalms, confirm that we can know God's presence at all times only if we set aside certain times for prayer. The Jews did not buy into a more current notion that since God is present everywhere and in all times we can pray whenever we feel like it. Of course, we can do that. But rather, they believed that praying regularly at set and specific times helps focus and reorientate one to God at all other times. I'm more likely to remember God in the middle of the morning and the response that perhaps God requires of me in my workplace or on my front line if I have attended to him before I ever started the morning. So the idea of just being able to pray everywhere, of course, is true. But the ability to pray everywhere is founded upon the regular habit of prayer that I develop in my life. The psalm says, as for me, I call to God and the Lord saves me, evening, morning, and noon. There we are, the Jewish day starts with the evening. I cry out in distress and he hears my voice. We know that Daniel, even when he was in exile, prayed three times a day towards Jerusalem, and he continued to do that even when he was told to stop, just as he had done before. Peter and John were still following the Jewish traditions of prayer after Jesus' resurrection. We read in the beginning of the book of Acts, Peter and John were going up to the temple at the time of prayer. They were still marking out the boundaries of their day by the habit of prayer, the focus on prayer. And one of the very first Christian books ever written, a devotional book, an instruction book on how to be a Christian disciple, is called the Didache. Read it recently? No, don't blame me for that. But here's chapter 8. The incredibly short chapter. You ought to read it. You'd love it. Okay, because they're really short chapters. Here's chapter 8, all of it, which is about fasting and prayer. Do not pray like the hypocrites, but rather as the Lord commanded in his gospel, like this. And then the Lord's Prayer is written out. And then it says, pray this three times each day. It's a bit like a doctor, isn't it? Writing on the, take three. Pray the Lord's Prayer three times each day. Still encouraging this kind of regular habit of prayer. Then you might be thinking, I can't even manage once a day, and he's saying that we should pray three times a day. I think it depends what we think prayer is, actually. I think it depends what we think prayer is. I think it depends what we think our day is all about, what we think our life is all about, what the boundary markers and the shaping forces should be. Should it be the presence of God? Now, I know this is hard, but I really want to encourage us to think about this. How do I start my day? What would it mean if I paused just for 3 or 4 minutes in the middle of the day to just pray the Lord's Prayer? What would it be like if at the end of the day, instead of watching news at 10 and Newsnight and everything else, I just took 5 to 10 minutes to reflect on my day and to thank God for the things that I'd experienced that day? If my day was mapped out around intentional visits to God's presence, I wonder how my day would begin to feel. We all know that prayer is a kind of an umbrella word. All kinds of different things fall under the category of prayer. We've done some of them this morning. Whether it's praising God, that's a form of prayer. Prayer is addressing God. And we can do that in all sorts of ways. It's confessing, as we've done this morning. It's listening to God. What are you saying, Father? And that's why Scripture is so important to our prayer life, because it's through Scripture that God, above all else, speaks to us. So we read, have our Bibles open when we pray. We give thanks. We complain. That's why you need the Psalms. The Psalms are full of complaining and grumbling to God. I love Psalm 73. I was reading it again this week a couple of times. Just happened to come up in what I was doing. You know Psalm 73, where the psalmist, he says, I love you, God, but but look at all those sleek, fat people. That's the way he talks of it. Look at all those rich people. They've got it all together. They've got everything. They've got big houses, big wives. They've got everything. And they don't even bother to do what you want done. And here's me, I'm trying to live a righteous life doing what you want done, and look at the state I'm in. I'm struggling, God, here. That isn't right. Of course, you've never felt like that because you're far too holy. But the psalmist did, and I'm glad the psalmist did, and I'm glad the Holy Spirit thought it was wise to record that particular prayer for all eternity, because it gives people like me who sometimes think, God, that's just not fair, somewhere to go when we want to pray and complain, letting it all out before God. And then the psalm goes on and says, I thought that way until I went into your holy temple. And then when I spent a bit of time with you in your word, I worked out where their life was going to end. And I realized that maybe they didn't they didn't have such a good deal after all. That they would be called to account for the life they've lived and the wealth they've squandered and the people they've trod on to get where they're getting to. And I decided in my heart that actually I was in the wrong on all that, God. It's a fantastic psalm. Read it, 73. It's a fantastic little psalm about how prayer transforms the prayer. As he struggles with his complaint and his sense of injustice in the presence of God. So we complain, we pray for the needs of others, we lament, we cry out to God in our pain, in our sadness, we wrestle in prayer. There's so much that prayer that hangs under the prayer umbrella. And if we were just regularly giving ourselves space to do some of that stuff, how much more healthy might our lives be? Jesus, in his Jewish tradition, would have started morning and evening prayer with the same words. In fact, Jews still do today, the Shema. The word Shema just means hear. And it draws from some verses from Deuteronomy, which start traditional Jewish prayer morning and evening. This is how they pray. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down, when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates. What does it do to you if you say that twice a day? I tell you what it does. It reminds you about who you are, who God is, your place in his world, and the importance of walking faithfully according to his word. So to many of us, that doesn't sound like a prayer because it's not saying, oh, Lord God, I've got this terrible problem and that person at work, they're really getting up my nose and I really want you to sort it out. It's not a plea because our prayer umbrella is too small often. We struggle with prayer because we make it about too few things. Here it is. Here's the big foundational prayer of the Jewish people. Who are you, God? You're our God. You're one God. What's our role on this earth today before we get to the next hour of prayer? It's to love you with all our heart and soul and strength. And it's to make sure that other people understand what that means as we walk along the road, as we bring up our kids. I say that is a doorstop, that is a foundational prayer still today of the Jewish people. And they would then, as I've already hinted on the importance of the Psalms, they would pray a psalm. The Psalms take you through the whole experience of life, as I've just been trying to suggest to us. It allows us to be really deeply, painfully honest with God. Spiritual health, someone said, begins to arrive at our door when we level with God the way the Psalms do. Letting it all hang out before him. And then for the Christians, post-Jesus, of course. Couldn't be a Christian before Jesus, technically. They would, as I've already said, pray the Lord's Prayer 3 times a day. Now, I wonder if we didn't do anything else, but we adopted that habit of pausing, saying something like the Shema, reading a part of a psalm, and praying the Lord's Prayer. I wonder if that was the way that we begin to bracket our day in prayer. What else might flow out of that? As we say the Lord's Prayer, we remind ourselves that the person in heaven is our Father. That my job today is about seeing his kingdom come on earth. Not about just earning a living or getting through the day, but somehow it's about making his kingdom come on earth. I'm going to remind myself of that, morning and evening. That I've blown it today, and I need this short line, forgive me my sins. And I need to remember that if I go to bed with bitterness on my heart, I'm going to be screwed up. So Lord, help me to forgive others as you've forgiven me. How much more healthy might we be if we actually thoughtfully prayed just those 3 short, it takes a few minutes. Dave's already given us this, the acts. It's another framework to use. I actually make it pacts, because I put pause on the beginning, because I find I just need to gather my thoughts, to sit quietly in the presence of God, just to reflect a little bit about what I'm doing before I rushing in to stuff, but you don't have to have the P, you could just have ACTS, or you could make up your own acronym, that's fun too. It doesn't matter, I'm not trying to create laws here, I'm trying to set some energy going that we might desire to pray, however we do it, whatever framework we use. We could do what I've suggested, just develop a little habit and routine of prayer around those core biblical prayers. Or on the sheet that you all received when you came in this morning, I've produced a whole load of resources, books about prayer you might want to read on your holiday. Well, just choose one. Good holiday reading. And down the other side is a whole lot of online resources. For those of you that do apps and online stuff, daily devotional material that you can just flick on your phone or on your laptop or wherever. If you're not a Derek Glue anti-computer party member, then there's some online stuff, but also books about prayer. All I'm trying to do is just to say, as Thornbury Baptist Church, let's not imagine we could possibly be Thornbury Baptist Church and make any difference to this community or anywhere else unless we're praying people. Let's find a habit of prayer that works for us. I'm not trying to create new rules here. That's the last thing. But I am trying to inspire us to see how important prayer is and that the onus is on us. Nobody else can pray our prayer life. We can't outsource it to China or India or somewhere. You know? It's us or no one. That's who does our praying. And sometimes it's difficult, isn't it? I wonder why you think we don't pray. What are some of the struggles we have with prayer? Why does it feel hard sometimes? That needn't necessarily be a rhetorical question. You could share that answer. Sorry, where? Okay. Yeah, so we feel bad or embarrassed about continually just asking for the same things. But that verse I put up earlier, keep seeking, keep asking, keep knocking. Be persistent in prayer. But yeah, that's one of the reasons we struggle, perhaps. Anybody else want to shout at me? Complacency. Yep. I think it's a big thing, isn't it? For some reason, we think we can live without prayer, even though the person we follow didn't think he could live without prayer. It's bizarre when you stop and think about it. So I'm a follower of Jesus. I do everything that Jesus does except pray. There's a little flaw there somewhere, isn't there? Here's some reasons. I think that for some of us, I've heard this, we don't think we've got time. Listen, I try and be very gracious and kind when I'm standing here and not offend people or anything like that. But if you think that, you're wrong. I have a theory that we all have time to do the things we think are important. Somehow or other, we shoehorn them in. I've heard people say, well, I'm not a morning person. Well, make yourself a morning person. I'm not a morning person, but I've learned if you just creep the alarm clock back 10 minutes a month, eventually you're a morning person. You might not be a very nice morning person, I might say, but the beauty of praying is that only God knows about that, so that he can handle it. We don't think we have time. We all have time. God knows there are 24 hours in a day. He's not surprised by that. He knows about that. Here's the shocker for me when I think about my own. I think sometimes I don't pray because deep down, I really don't think it's important. I think I can get through today without it. I can do what I do without praying. And I'm embarrassed by that thought, but I think, if I'm honest, sometimes that is a reason I don't pray. I don't think it's important. And maybe that taps into what Rich was saying about complacency. Maybe we don't pray because we don't believe it makes any difference. Of course, if we don't think it makes any difference, then we won't pray. But sometimes the difference we think it should make is not the difference, as I said earlier, that it could make. In other words, the circumstance may not change, but we may be transformed in facing that circumstance. It may be we don't ask for the Spirit's help. There is a connection in Scripture between the work of the Spirit and our prayer. By the Spirit we cry out, Abba, Father. So if our prayer life is dried up, then the simple prayer we need to pray is, Lord, fill me again with your Holy Spirit. Or maybe it's that we don't know how to. And what I've been doing in a very quick and surface way is trying to open up ways that we might re-engage with prayer if it's a habit we've lost. And if just sitting down and working through a list has kind of gone stale, and then try some of these other ways. Try some of the ways on the sheet. Try an app. Try the Shema. Try whatever. But just find a place and a time. If it isn't three times a day, once a day is a great start. Find a time and a place that works for you to stand face to face with the living God and do and say whatever comes. lament, complain, intercede, praise, adore, pacts, acts, whatever. Enjoy the moment. It's a rare privilege. That old hymn. What a friend we have in Jesus, all our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear, all because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Perhaps we could just pause and pray now before the music team come back. Father, I think we would all confess that we don't really understand prayer and why it is so necessary, but we confess to you, Lord, that we know that we cannot read our Bibles without understanding the importance of prayer to our lives as Christians and as church. And Lord, I pray that you would just stir up in us again a desire to be a prayerful people, a desire to come regularly to that boundary between earth and heaven and address the maker and keeper of everything. I pray, Lord, that you would meet us in our prayers, however simply offered they are, that we might sense that they are moments of encounter with you. And I pray, Lord, that as you meet us, you would transform us. I pray that we would indeed sense that peace that passes understanding as we bring our anxieties and concerns to you. I pray that we would experience the cleansing of our hearts and souls as we confess our sins and know ourselves to be forgiven in your sight. I pray that you'd cause faith to rise so that we might believe that as we pray, things will change. And I pray that you'd grant us the help of your Holy Spirit. For all of us here who are thirsty for a deeper life of prayer, grant us the help of your Holy Spirit, opening our eyes to you afresh, moving us towards you. And Lord, we confess sometimes our discipline is not great. And we don't make the time because we don't think it's important. And we do think we can get by without it. Lord, challenge us in the depths of our being so that we can understand that however much we can achieve without you, the amount we could achieve with you would be just so much greater. Father God, I pray you'd fan into flame a desire to pray. Not to please you, because you know we know you're already pleased with us, but to meet you, the God who is pleased with us, to encounter you, to be changed by you. So Father, whatever you've put into our hearts, I pray it wouldn't just drift away as we walk out the door. If there's a desire or even an intention to follow through, then Lord, may it sit deep in our beings. And as we go back home, may even this holiday season be a time of setting new habits and new routines in our lives. Help us, Lord, to meet you in prayer, we pray. In Jesus' name and for his sake alone. Amen.